You are listening to the Small Screen Podcast, part of the Invasion Radio Podcast Network. For pop culture and movie chat, check out the Popcast Podcast. And for insight on the hottest music, listen to the speaker box below. You can find all of the Invasion Radio podcasts at screeninvasion.com. Welcome to the Small Screen Podcast, episode 46. I'm Marcos Canales from smallscreenhappenings.com, televixen.com, and screeninvasion.com. And this is a special episode of the pod because it's going to be solely dedicated to the fifth season of FX's Sons of Anarchy. Joining me tonight is one of Screen Invasion's top contributors, editors, and resident Sons expert, Kat Edison. How you doing, Kat?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing really well. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Excellent. So before we dive deep into Sons, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, like how you got involved with Screen Invasion and what brought you to Sons of Anarchy initially?
Okay. Well, I got started with Screen Invasion while I was on maternity leave. I just had my son and I was going crazy, stir crazy at home, and Twitter was my best friend, and I saw something go out on Napier's News about needing writers for a new site, and I took a chance on turning some writing in that I've always wanted to write for a living. So that was my leap into trying to do that finally, and sent something to Crystal, and that's it. Started writing for the site in December when it launched last year, and I've really enjoyed it. And as far as getting started with Sons of Anarchy, I caught up with it on Netflix, and one of my first assignments for Screen Invasion was to interview Kurt Sutter on a phone interview, which was really exciting for me because screenwriting is, you know, would be my ultimate goal. And I think he's excellent at managing characters and storylines and multiple storylines. So I was super excited to be able to do that right out of the gate. And that kind of launched me into going ahead and following through with reviewing it and recapping it this go-round.
Okay, so you weren't originally a Sons fan. Like, you didn't start watching it on FX when it first debuted. You had to catch up via Netflix and stuff like that.
Yeah, because initially when it came out, I actually didn't have cable.
Oh, okay.
I went without it for a long time and caught up with a lot of things through Netflix and Hulu and things like that. I was really dedicated to those sites for a really long time and finally got connected again in time to catch season 4. And of course, this past season 5, so.
Excellent. Yeah, much like you, I caught up with Sons via Netflix as well, and it's just one of those shows that I always heard good things about, but at the time I was too busy watching things like Chuck and all these lighter shows, and so the grittier FX brand of drama never quite resonated with me, but heard a lot of good things about it, caught up as well via Netflix for season 4, and so that's how I got interested in the show, and I've been keeping tabs with it for the last couple of years. But before we get started, like, how was it interviewing Kurt Sutter? Was it, like, what did you learn from him about his process or his show? Or is there anything interesting that you'd like to share about that experience before we get into our talk about the season?
Oh, goodness gracious. That was about a year ago, and, you know, we didn't really delve a whole lot into the creative process, but I just really enjoyed listening to his anecdotes and really seeing how the cast does seem to be a family. Like, they're really tight-knit and I guess opposite of what they are on the show. And I was just kind of starstruck talking to him anyway. I mean, it was just a phone interview, but it was just really cool.
Cool, very cool. So this is the first time that the Small Screen Podcast has tried to do a deep dive into a particular show. Sometimes we just talk about a few shows here and there, but we wanted to cover Sons of Anarchy, not only just the finale, but the season as well. And so, Kat, the question I have for you is, what the heck happened on Sons of Anarchy this year?
Oh my gosh, so much. What didn't happen on Sons of Anarchy?
Yeah, that's the true question, because, yeah. So, yeah, fill us in a little bit for those who maybe haven't has watched it as much as we have.
Well, oh gosh, I don't even know how to fill someone in on everything that happened. But, you know, just straight out of the gate, you knew it was going to be a crazy season with the situation with Damon Pope entering into their world, and the death of his daughter, which Tig caused. And man, they hit it hard right out of the gate. I was shocked and like gasping and yelling at my television when Pope took down Tig's daughter. That was terribly shocking to me and horribly exciting to me at the same time, because I knew that with something like that right out of the gate that they weren't going to let up for the entire season, and he really didn't. He just kept throwing things like that at us over and over and over again. So, gosh, to give a rundown, where do I begin?
Well, let's just start with Pope while we're on that topic. Did you feel like he was a strong big bad this season, or do you feel like he muddled things up, or was he a good contributing factor? Because one thing about Sons that, you know, sometimes I have an issue with is there's just, like we've mentioned, there's so much going on. Like, we have the Irish, we have the Mexicans, we have the One-Niners, we have all of these different factions. And then we have Pope introduced on top of all that. So do you feel like what he brought this season was strong enough, or do you feel like he just kind of muddied the waters even more?
No, I think that Pope was a great addition. I think he made an excellent, and I can't say bad guy, antagonist, I guess, mm-hmm. Because he is someone that Jack can aspire to be. He's a bad guy, but he's a bad guy that's made it. And I think it showed a different direction and someone else that he could follow, along with, you know, when Sutter decided to introduce Nero, I feel like it was kind of like the angel and the devil on his shoulders, on Jax's shoulders, to bring Nero in and have someone amazing as Jimmy Smits play him. So you had two very strong actors like pitted against each other for Jax, kind of, and they're both pulling him in different directions. And I thought that worked out exceptionally well. I mean, there were times I almost completely forgot about the other storylines. They're amazingly strong characters.
Yeah, yeah. I was a little hesitant when I heard that Jimmy Smits was going to be brought on to the show, but he did surprise me, and I think that, like you said, Nero was another great addition, especially because, yeah, it was two different sides of the same coin in terms of another father figure for Jax, and we all know that that's something that's been really big for him throughout his journey, so it was really interesting to see how these two very different men had him pulled in all these different directions and how it ultimately led to him becoming the leader that he felt he had to be. So I'm also trying to think, because like we've said, there's so much stuff that was going on. It's kind of hard to just encapsulate an entire season, especially with one so dense as season 5 of Sons. Going back to the plotting, I guess, of this season in terms of having Jax have to serve two different masters in the Irish and the CIA and the Mexican cartel, do you feel like that was something that Sutter was able to pull off, or did you find yourself getting a little bit lost in all of the machinations of this dread hang over the club and the Suns, or do you feel like in the end it was something that ended up working for you?
You know, it's hard for me to say that I feel it was completely necessary. I know that he needed it to keep Clay in play and to make that make sense. And it added an extra element of drama, but I don't know that it was necessary with everything else that was going on. Like I said, I forgot about that at times. And I guess maybe that was part of the point, too, is just to get you to think about other things and then kind of bring it back to the forefront again. And it was always there kind of to fall back on if they needed another turn in the story. So I feel like Sutter knows what he's doing. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it was there for a reason. I don't know that we could have completely done without it, but I don't think it was a driving force.
Okay. And you brought up how this is probably a way to justify keeping Clay alive at the end of season 4, and we want to focus mostly on season 5, but that was also an interesting tidbit because it was very controversial because a lot of people felt that Clay needed to be dead at the end of season 4. So were you one of those people who thought, okay, this is a total cop out by having Clay survive, he needs to die, or did you trust Sutter enough to make it work?
I do trust him to make it work, because he always does. Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong, I definitely question some of it sometimes. And that was one of those moments that you really wanted to see him get his revenge. And I kind of got a little tired of the Jax Clay thing this season. Mm-hmm. I liked the addition of Nero and Pope as kind of surrogate father figures. And I liked seeing him go in a different direction and not being weighed down by that whole Clay issue. And that monkey on his back, I feel like needs to just be gone. I feel like it's starting to drag the story a little bit, drag the story down some. And at this point I do. I mean, maybe not necessarily right at the end of season 4, but yeah, it's getting to that point.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you because when Clay survived season 4, I wasn't upset because, much like you, I felt that Kurt Sutter knew what he was doing and that his survival was going to serve the story in the way it needed to. After season 5, I was still kind of wondering, okay, maybe it would have been more compelling had Clay, not survived and had been killed off at the end of that season. But to his credit, Clay was able to make this season somewhat more interesting just in terms of what his actions did in terms of pushing Jax to the edge. And we'll probably get into a little bit more detail about his fate when we talk a little bit more in specific about the episode itself, but I'm just trying to think of other things that were big on this season. I would say, I guess the biggest development that happened this season was the death of Opie. How did you feel that worked? Did you feel like it was justified in the end? Or was that just a moment that was wasted in a character that met his demise too soon?
Oh, gosh. You know, I feel like looking back on it, I see that he was somewhat expendable. And you're right. You know, like Clay was definitely a driving force, even if the Clay Jack story wasn't the Clay story. It definitely was. With Opie, I hated to see that happen. I get so invested in these characters, and he was definitely one of my favorites. But he's got to have that shock factor, and he can't make it through the season with everybody just making it out, you know, clean. And I don't think that he would have necessarily added a lot to the season. Mm-hmm. Do I think it was necessary? You know, I think to change Jax to what he's become, to harden him a little bit, maybe so.
Okay. I tend to agree with that. I guess that was such a shocking moment and such a pivotal moment for fans and for the story, that I was surprised, and it's going to sound weird, I was kind of happy that it happened, because it showed that Sutter's willing to go there. He's willing to kill off one of his most beloved and major characters. The only thing I had an issue with is it felt like it didn't have as much of an emotional impact on Jax as I would have liked, because because the episode right after Opie's death is when they had the wake for him, but that was second fiddle to Jax saving a prostitute from the Disney Channel or something crazy like that.
Yes. And I did have issue with the way that they let Opie go. I felt like not enough tribute was paid. And I agree with you on that, it was forgotten too quickly, and it was just not a major issue, like it should have been. I completely agree with you there.
Yeah. And I mean, they did pay lip service to it a few times, like when Jax found the security guard who was responsible for putting Opie in that situation and killing the guy who was the one who swung the pipe and delivered that fatal blow. You know, so we saw bits and pieces of the ramifications throughout, but I guess what bothered me the most is if these two were as close as we were told they were, I wouldn't see Jax worrying about Ashley Tisdale's character while his best friend just died. And so that's when this season started to lose a little bit of its luster for me, because, you know, I don't mind you killing off Opie if his death rings true and if it ultimately feels justified. And that's where I kind of felt like Kurt Sutter dropped the ball a little bit, because I think we still could have had all of the actions that Jax had taken after that point. But seeing him be lost a little bit more, seeing him just be upset and depressed or something, that his best friend was no longer with him, would have been nice as well. But again, Kurt Sutter has so many plot threads that he has to weave together that it was just unfortunate some of those moments were lost in the grand scheme of things. But
and you see that at other points too. You'll see someone going missing, like when Chibs was kidnapped, and you see them back at the clubhouse, not even discussing it, or, you know, things get lost in the shuffle sometimes, and it looks like things that they should be really concerned about, things that they should be really pushing or moving forward with, and they just kind of get lost.
Yeah, and I kind of see why that is, because just the nature of the show. But when it comes to television, especially serialized dramas, I tend to be a character person, not a plot person. So sure. I would have been completely happy if they trimmed the main plot of the last few seasons down by 30% and given us more of those character-based moments. But, in the end, he was successful at what he was doing, because, I mean, Sons did really well this year in terms of ratings, and it was one of FX's highest rated shows, so people still were invested. It was just missing that little extra that I was looking for.
That personal touch, and I can see that, and especially coming out of season four, because there was so much that was focused on the characters, and now, it's definitely shifted. It's very much an overall storyline focused rather than that personal focus. And you really see that with how much has gone on. Just not even be able to encapsulate it enough to review it for this right now. Mm-hmm. And try and get people caught up to speed without spending an hour and a half shows.
Yeah, exactly. So we haven't even touched on Charming Heights. We haven't talked about the home invasions. We haven't talked about so many other things. But with that said, what we'll do is we'll try to maybe focus our attentions a little bit more pointedly on the actual season finale that just wrapped up a couple of days ago. So we'll go through some of the plot points and see how we felt about it. So initially, what were your thoughts on the finale? Were you satisfied by it? Were you frustrated by it? How do you feel? Did it wrap things up nicely? Did it have a nice bow on top of season five? Or did you find yourself being let down in some ways by the finale?
You know, I was not let down. Okay. But I think that might partially be because I have so much invested in Tig. He is my absolute favorite character, as depraved as he is, and maybe because of how depraved he is. I don't know what it is about him, sad little puppy Tig, but I love Tig. And I love Kim Coates, and I think that may be the reason I love him so much. And so I was not ready to see him go, and I was pretty sure that wasn't going to happen. Especially, you know, once things started setting in motion, you could see that, you know, something else was, there was going to be another turn taken, but, that I was holding my breath that whole time. Once Jax took him out to that warehouse, you know, he had something else up his sleeve, but who knows, you know, you never know with Kurt Sutter what you're going to get, and you know that it's going to be shocking. So you don't know who's going to be the subject of that shock. Mm-hmm. And so I did. I definitely was holding my breath. I was very stressed out through the first portion of the episode. And but no, I was happy with it, and I'm really happy with Donald Logue being introduced to the cast. I love him from Terriers and from gosh, even earlier than that. With the sitcom that he did.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I can't remember what it was called right now, but I've been a fan of his for a very, very long time. And so I'm really excited to see where his part of the story is going to go with taking down Tara and the club. And I thought it was actually Maggie Siff's best acting moment ever.
Yeah,
she was recorded.
Yeah, she really has been bringing it these last couple of seasons. And
No. And I saw it finally, was there again. So we'll see what comes of that. But I was actually happy with the way things ended. And I think it left enough open. I like that they really pushed out old crew, and they've completely brought in a new order on all fronts. Mm-hmm. There's no more Unser. You know, we've got Roosevelt in his place. Clay and Bobby are both gone. Tig's really the only really old school left. Mm-hmm. And so you've got Jax, and you know, with Pope gone, it's a whole new order and Charming. And I'm interested to see where they're going.
Yeah, definitely. Going back to Tig really quickly, because I'll be honest, I was a little bit irked that he ended up living. Maybe it's because I was distracted by all the other things going on this season, but I really didn't see Jax playing this long con on Pope and his crew. And so I really thought that he was going to serve up Tig. Because, much like we talked about with season four, Sutter will always tiptoe up to that line, even though he did kill off Opie and Piney, and he's done it before, but he's walked up to that line in the past just to backtrack. And part of me was like, there's no way he's going to do this again, especially after he figured out a way to keep Clay in play. He backed away from killing off Juice. I was like, okay, this is going to be the death that is going to ultimately change the face of Sons of Anarchy. And I guess in the end, I'm not too upset that Jax didn't go through with it, because that really would have taken him to a dark place, and he would truly be a different person. And he is the heart and soul of this show. And if you really can't root for Jax, then there's no point in watching Sons of Anarchy.
Exactly, yeah.
So him not sacrificing Tig, in the end, makes sense, but I was just hoping that Sutter was going to do that bold move that he's been teasing for so long. But, like you said, Kim Coates is a great actor. He's a great presence on the show. Personally, I'm more of a Chibs man myself. I just love Chibs, but it would be hard not to have Tig around for another season at least. But yeah, something about it was still kind of like, ugh, why does he do this to us again?
I know, and I could see that. And if I wasn't just so invested, and seeing the scene with Tig having to watch his daughter be burned to death, I already love Tig so much, and seeing that, just got me on this level of, like, oh, poor Tig, then I just needed to take care of him, and I couldn't see Jax letting that happen. I totally could, because he was getting to that point, and I really didn't know what way it was going to go until he handed him over, and it was just the way in which things were going. He was being too nasty, and there was no way that was going to happen, and that he was actually going to let Tig go down. But like Tig said, Pope could have shot him right away.
Yeah, it was definitely a risky play.
It was a big chance, and he knew that, and so he was willing to lose Tig.
Yeah, that's true. But I think in the end, Tig's saving grace was the dog.
Yes.
Because you don't give him a scene like that just to brutally kill him in the next, that would have been too mean. So
that is Tig is that dog. Why everybody loves him, because he's that beaten up puppy dog.
So going back to the Long Con end of things, did you see it playing out the way it did in terms of framing Clay? Like, was that something that you kind of saw coming, or was that a complete shock to you?
It wasn't a complete shock. I wasn't exactly sure how it's going to play out. And, Sutter's good at making sure that you don't know quite what's going to go down. Mm-hmm. You can pontificate, you can try and figure it out. But, I didn't know that Gemma was going to, I thought she was just going to stay quiet. I didn't realize she was just going to outright lie and throw him straight under the bus. I thought she was just going to keep her mouth shut and let him go down that way. I actually kept thinking Juice was going to jump out and say that he did it.
I know. I was a little bit surprised that Juice didn't say anything either, because, Roosevelt asks for an alibi, and Gemma, like you said, Gemma throws him under the bus, but Juice is standing there, and Juice was telling him to run, get out of there. That last scene that he had with Clay about how he was going to miss him the most, and how they've had that bond over this whole season as Juice has been taking care of him. I was so surprised that in the end, Juice didn't say something. And I guess I kind of see his motivations, because, like he said to Jax a few episodes ago, the MC is his life. He doesn't know how to survive without it. But if he was willing to give Clay a heads up to get out of there, part of me is wondering, why don't you just really just throw yourself on the mercy of Roosevelt and save Clay that way? Juice is a character I love, and I really enjoy what Theo Rossi does with that character. But part of me feels like Sutter and his writers really don't know how to use him if he's not just purely a plot device. And that's kind of annoying.
Yeah, and I feel I feel bad for him right now, because he's completely expendable right now. And I liked his character as well. But I haven't the second half of this season. It's just been this moon-faced poor little boy this whole time. And there's just not much there right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm surprised he made it through the season. I really didn't think he was going to, partially based on the interview with Sutter that I did last year. He didn't seem to think that Juice was going to make it through the season either. He kind of hinted around at you know, his days were numbered, but I guess he changed his mind. Because he's still there, which surprised me.
Go ahead.
But yeah, I really thought that was going to be his way of, you know, getting the guilt off of his back. Was I thought he was just going to jump out before Gemma said anything and say that he did it. Mm-hmm. And I thought it would stick because his fingerprints were all over the gun anyway. So, but that's not what happened.
Yeah, not what happened.
I can't play the guessing game because I almost always lose.
No, I know how that is. But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Juice is the next to leave, but... Like you had said, I was a little bit surprised that he stuck around as long as he did, because the table was set for him to be written out. And I do have to appreciate, though, how Kurt Sutter was able to write himself out of the corner by keeping him alive. Because I do think that had Juice followed through, well, I mean, he followed through with his suicide attempt, but had it stuck, I mean, I think that would have been another pivotal moment. But, you know... The way that he was able to make Juice somewhat a key player in all of it, you know, playing both on Jax's side and Clay's side, and I mean, we don't get that last twist of the gun showing up and Roosevelt finding it with Jax's help and anything like that without Juice. So it was one of those situations where a cop out might have ended up being more important than. Just the initial result. And maybe this is what Sutter had planned all along. I don't know if I give him as much credit as you do in that regards, but he was at least a little bit more relevant than he's been in the past. But yeah, I mean, I don't see Juice necessarily being long for the world, especially if somehow Jax finds out that he was willing to let Clay go and ruin everything. I'm sure that's something that's going to pop up again in future seasons, so...
Sure. And he served his purpose. You know, he got them through this and he made sure to be that pawn that they needed, you know. So, yeah, I think you're right. I don't think he's going to make it too much further.
And Tara getting arrested. So do you think Gemma followed through with her threat, or did Donald Logue's character figure out a way to bust her? What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, that's the guessing game again.
Yeah. It's part of the fun, though.
I don't know. I think Gemma did it.
Okay.
I think Gemma did it. I think after Jax's conversation that she overheard with Nero, she needed to step in and take control again. And she's back at the head of the table with him. You know, it was kind of creepy, that last scene where she's standing behind him in the same pose that she had with JT and in the same pose that Tara had with Jax last season. And now... we're looking at her standing behind him, and it just got a little icky, but with that visual. But
yeah, that was the first thing I thought too. It was like, it was obviously a callback, but I was like, wait, that's his mom.
I know. I was like, yeah.
We all know it's like very Shakespearean and Hamlet-like, but come on, that was it was a nice visual though. But yeah, once you really think about it, you're like, especially with the kid on his lap and.
Oh yeah, that killed me.
You'd mentioned that Clay and his relationship with Jax and how he's been dragging him down is something that has been, I don't know if it's been necessarily upsetting you or diminishing the value you get from this show. But the reason I bring that up is because in some ways that's what Gemma's doing for me. Like, I'm trying to figure out if she's still useful at this point, because I'm sorry, watching her and Tara have a cat fight for the 18th billionth time is no longer working. So I mean, what are your thoughts on her as a character, like in her arc this season? Was she somewhat redeemed in your eyes with her being with Nero, or is she also just at this point just another detriment to the show?
I don't think she's a detriment to the show. You know, I think that Sutter writes complex characters. Well, I don't even know if they're that complex with the women, but I just don't find them exceptionally strong. Like, you know, Gemma's a survivor, but I don't know that that's out of strength so much just desperation. Mm-hmm. And I do think that she played her part well this season. I agree that, you know, the whole thing with her and Tara is also getting old. I don't love the storyline of Tara going to prison. I kind of scared it's going to get a little drawn out, maybe a little boring. Mm-hmm. I think that Gemma, well, she has to be there. She is the other part of Jax, you know, she's that driving force. And, I don't know.
No,
I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. No, I ultimately buy that, and I do think that she's too important of a character not to be around. But you made a good point though that when it comes to the female characters on the show, they seem like they're complex, but they tend not to be. Like when you really break them down, especially in Gemma's case, like yes, family's important to her, and that's her driving force, but it just, she needs something else to make her interesting in my eyes. It's just like we're talking about, like 90% of the conflict she's involved in is with Tara because Tara wants to get out of Charming and she doesn't want that to happen. And that would be an interesting storyline if they haven't been playing that out since season one. Like it feels like it's never, you know, that side of things has never been developed because they're taking too much time on all these other entities controlling the club. And again, maybe it's just I don't see Sutter's endgame at this point, and maybe that's a good thing, but in some ways it's hindering my enjoyment of this show because, you know, we have so many plot developments in terms of people pulling the strings of the club, but we don't have a lot of progression when it comes to relationships and when it comes to that side of things. And that's what, again, I was invested in early on. And, you know, maybe it's just because I'm blinded by all of the stuff, just trying to think what happened this season, and that's getting in the way of some of those smaller moments. But I do think in a lot of ways I feel that the most when I think about Gemma and her character and what she's been doing on this show. But, I mean, Katie Seagal is married to Cut Sorter. I don't see her getting killed off anytime soon. I just want her to have some different shades to her at this point instead of kind of being just a one-note character.
Yeah, I fully agree with you. And I think that there were touches of that with Nero and then, you know, seeing her hit bottom. And I would have liked to see her try harder to pull herself back up or to see more depth there, to see more of what's behind her, maybe some of her past, you know, mm-hmm. beyond her past with JT and Clay. You can only pull from that for so long, and there's got to be something else to her, you know? And, yeah, I totally agree with you, and I would have liked to see more from her with Nero as well. Mm-hmm. And I really hated that they pulled her back to Clay like that when Jax told her she had to get information for him. And I just, I don't know that it was really necessary aside from showing that Jax was willing to do that to her.
Yeah, that was definitely an off-putting moment. It's like, yeah, he's essentially pimping out his mom.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And everybody thought the same thing. It was like, you just turned your mom into a whore. Like, seriously?
Yeah.
So I guess that was one of those turning point moments for us to see where Jax's mind was, mm-hmm. and where he was willing to go and how he felt about her at this point. But, you know, he's going to fall right back onto her for support now, mm-hmm. with Tara gone. And, I mean, if that does happen, that's just kind of hard for me to swallow
yeah.
at this point with everything that's gone on. You know, I think it may have been you when she wrecked the car with the boys and you felt like it was Sons being Sons.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, that's what I felt like in this, in this episode when Otto bit his tongue out.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That moment just was so over the top. And it just looked to me for a second, like, I was like, did they do that as a joke and then just decide to leave it in? Because that was just beyond ridiculous. But, those are those moments, or like you said, you know, it was definitely a Sons being Sons moment. And, you know, those extra little shocks and stuff, but still, I mean, she almost killed his kids. That's a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
I don't know that even pimping herself out would have got her back in my good graces for something like that.
And I guess one of the lasting images or lasting scenes for me was towards the end of the episode where Bobby Elvis and Jax are having that conversation about how everything transpired, and essentially Jax admitting that maybe he's not so different from Clay, and that being the point where Bobby turns in his patch. Now, a two-pronged question. First is this the version of Jax that you're the most interested in? Like, what are your thoughts of him essentially becoming another version of Clay? And then you kind of alluded to it earlier. I mean, is this it for Bobby? Is he truly out, or is he just no longer VP? And again, it's a guessing game, and we don't know exactly where it's gonna go. But maybe I read that scene a little bit differently than you did.
Sure. Yeah, I don't really know what that means. I mean, you know, does it mean that he is just a nomad now? Does it mean that he's turning in his patch, or just that he's just essentially saying that he doesn't believe in Jax anymore? Which, I mean, it's been pretty obvious for a while now that he is pulling back from Jax. I mean, but what's he going to do if he doesn't have someone to follow?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where's he going to go? If he can't follow Jax, then what's the point? You know, I mean, he is at least a little stronger character than that.
Yeah.
He seemed maybe a little weak at the end of the season, but he's strong enough to go out on his own if he's tired of the way things are going, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I feel like they really need to go full force with the new crew for now.
Okay.
And let us see where that goes.
Interesting, because I guess the way I saw it, I mean, I still saw it as him being a part of the crew, just because, like you said, I mean, I don't know really what he would be doing if he wasn't a part of it. I mean, I do think we've seen more of his backstory, though, and they have done a better job at fleshing him out as a character, so I can definitely see a way to keep him on the show and not in the club. But I also saw him as being that moral center for a big chunk of this season, and without that, I mean, Sons could run the risk of just running off the rails if Jax just runs amok, especially if he does become a new Clay. You know, because while I love Chibs, he's more of an enforcer type, and I can see him easily being a VP for Jax because he's always been there, and I swear, every time he says, "Love you, Jackie boy," it gets me every single time.
Yes, absolutely.
So I would be happy to see Chibs fill that role, but he's not the most morally clean character. And, you know, he's done Jax's dirty work throughout a big chunk of the last two seasons. So not having Bobby there to ground the club could be dangerous.
And maybe that's where it's going, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't been listening to Bobby this whole time. Bobby's been the voice of reason, but it hasn't been getting through. So he's fought his fight and he's lost. So maybe it's time to see. He wants to see what happens without him, or he's just done. Clay's gone. He doesn't have anyone to fall back on anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because it seemed like he may have been willing to follow Clay again, even, mm-hmm. before he wanted to see Jack turn that way.
Mm-hmm. And getting back to Jax, I mean, do you think he's past the point of no return? Do you think this
Nah.
Okay. So nah. You see him being able to redeem himself and get back on track to where he was going towards beforehand?
I don't know if he will. Mm-hmm. He could. You know, you never know with Sutter if it's going to be a happy ending or not, you know. So, yeah. You know, he may, like you said, just go totally off the rails. He may become the next Damon Pope, you know, who knows where they're going to lead it. But I don't think he's gone too far yet. I think he can absolutely pull it back. And this thing with Tara will either be a catalyst to that or to him falling further behind and, you know, letting Gemma help push him in a different direction, back into the club and further, you know, into those dealings. So we'll see which way he decides to go.
Yeah, that's definitely the good thing about this type of finale is it answers some of the questions, but then it brings up a whole host of others. And we'll maybe talk a little bit about that here in a bit. But that pretty much wraps up most of the episode. Am I forgetting anything that happened? Because, again, so much happens that I don't want to miss anything in terms of the finale.
Gosh, you know, yeah, there's so much that went on. But as far as the finale goes, I think we're doing pretty good. I think we hit most of the major points there. But
all right.
So, yeah, you know, I'm just looking forward to next season and seeing where this new crew takes everybody. I'm excited about Augie taking over for Pope and seeing how he and Jax works together and if they really do start looking into Pope's death more or not, because, you know, does he really want to take out the guy that just gave him a new job? You know, he just put him in charge of Pope's empire. So does he want him as a partner, or is he dangerous now because he did manage to pull that off, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and Augie stood back and let it happen. He knew something was going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a nice little touch where Jax acknowledges, like, okay, yeah, maybe something was up and, you know, maybe I did have a hand in this, but you know what? You're benefiting too. And he's like, I'm, you know, excited to work with you. Like, that was just a nice little twist that really sold it. And yeah, I mean, I'm also excited to see where next season goes in terms of everything that they've brought up and things like that. But before we start wrapping things up, again, just maybe reflecting on this season as a whole, like, what was a highlight for you? Like, when you think back on season 5 of Sons of Anarchy, what's the one thing that's going to stick with you the most?
The moment that Pope burned Tig's daughter in front of him. Like, that was just so shocking and cruel. And it is what I will think of every time I think of the season. It is. Like, it's the first thing I go to. And it was one of the first scenes that we came back to, you know? So that's it, definitely.
Yeah, that's a good one. I'm going to go in a different direction. The one thing that I think I'll remember the most is Walton Goggins as Venus Van Damme.
Oh, my gosh, yes. We didn't talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, it was just a small part of the entire season, but it was just so memorable for me, at least, because it wasn't Sons being Sons. like we had talked about.
Fantastic. And that is one of the things I love so much about him, is that he knows such great people and has such great characters and great actors to work with from his past with the Shield and all of that, that I just think it's awesome that he brought him back.
Exactly. And it was so unexpected, and they did such a good job at keeping his name out of the credits and
all
of that stuff.
Fantastic. They could keep his secrets.
Yeah. And maybe it's because, like, I associate Walton Goggins with Justified. And I knew he was on the Shield and everything like that, but I really didn't never watch that show. So just seeing him completely different in that different role, in a different light, and him just having fun and the way he was flirting with Tig and how Tig was confused by what was going on, because he was like, maybe, would I? I might actually, yeah, I think I would.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, and that's those moments that just makes me love Tig that much more.
Yeah.
That so. He's just so depraved. But, yes.
So
that was such a fantastic moment.
And because it was shocking in a different way, because you know, while Tig's daughter essentially getting burned alive is a lasting image, and it was, you know, a very important plot point, and Otto biting off his tongue and stabbing someone with a cross, like, all of these things that happen are shock for shock's sake, and so was that scene with Walton Goggins, but I just appreciated the humor that came along.
Absolutely, with it. And it was nice to have fun with the show for once, you know? Not that it's not fun to watch, but, man, it stresses me out sometimes because I just get so sucked in and so involved in the characters that I am, like, a nervous wreck by the end of it. So, to be able to have fun and laugh with the characters for a minute was awesome, and especially for it to be Walt was great because, yeah, I love Justified, and I love Boyd, but, yeah, that was definitely shocking in a different way.
Yeah. Well, I think that wraps up everything that I had. Any other final thoughts about this season and maybe where you'd like to see season 6 go or anything like that before we call it a night?
You know, I want to see this, like I've said, like a million times already, sorry, but I want to see the new crew. I want to see how they move forward, and I want to see how Jax and Augie work together. And I really hope it's them moving forward to just try and take over. I'm interested to see how Charming Heights plays into everything coming up as well, since the two of them will be having to work closely on that. I think it was an exceptionally smart move on Jax's part, and I like that he's moving into business that way. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not really looking forward to the terrorist storyline. I'm looking forward to Donald Logue's part of it very much, but I'm just worried I'm going to get bored with that, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, I have to echo what you just said, especially with Donald Logue, because I think he was probably one of the best developments towards the end of this season. Not just because of the general goodwill he's cultivated with me from his past works and stuff like that, but that was just an interesting element to throw in there at the last second and really seeing how he'll disrupt their lives. And I'm really excited to see how he does and what he does down the line. And I kind of agree with you as well. I want Charming Heights to be something. Like, it's always been this entity in the background that they've talked about, and it's played a role in so many things, but for me at least, it's still very abstract. Like, I still don't quite understand why this is so important, and hopefully now that it's actually being developed and Jax played a role in that and his new partnerships, hopefully that'll all start making a little bit more sense. But in the end, I thought it was a good season, especially I think it had a strong ending. It definitely was an improvement over season 4 and season 3. And it got me excited again to get back in Charming and see where they go from here.
I agree. Yeah, I'm looking forward to. I think they've changed things up just enough, and they put all the pieces in place to really shift the storyline and show something new. So I'm looking forward to seeing where that goes.
Excellent. Well, with that said, I think that's going to be the end of this episode. Thank you, everyone, for listening. If you want to follow us online, you can find me on Twitter at Papa's2Cents. And Kat, where can they find you online?
On Twitter at Kat Edison.
All right. And you can also follow Screen Invasion at Screen Invasion and all of our podcasts at Invasion Radio. Thanks for listening.